Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Zero Emissions Corsa E with a range of up to 337 kilometres, it's simply electric.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, the Minister for Education, Norma Foley, on why Leaving Cert students will now get to see their class rankings, despite teachers being told this would not happen. As concern mounts about COVID rates here, we'll check in on how infection rates are impacting in Sweden, Spain, the UK and China. Grieving for man's best friend, as President Higgins says goodbye to his dog, Shida, we examine the impact of losing a treasured pet. Allergies, sneezing and sinus problems. Dr. Maura Finn is talking all about nasal health today. If you have a question, send it our way to todaycb@rte.ie or you can text us 51551. And the pressure is on in the kitchen. Soups and stews are on the menu as we put the pressure cooker to the test a little bit later on. But first, as people start to see the cut to their pandemic unemployment payment from today, Sinn Féin has highlighted the contrast between that and the appointment of 10 special advisers for junior ministers. The Irish Independent brings us news also today of a wage hike for TDs, bringing them close to their 2008 rate of pay. Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin finance spokesperson and TD for Donegal, joins me from our Dáil studio, and also on the line, Derek Mooney, a former special advisor to two Fianna Fáil governments between 2004 and 2010, and also a communications consultant. Now, I'll start with you, Piers. Thanks for joining us today. So the context of this is, as I say, that the public sector pay rises are coming into effect next week, and along with that, TDs and senators are due an increase. This is where the problem lies for you.
Well, it's not where the problem lies. The problem really lies on the fact that the government has decided to cut the pandemic unemployment payment, that we have 160,000 people who have seen a reduction this week of their supports from €50 to €100. It does come in the week where the government decided at cabinet level to appoint 10 additional special advisors to junior ministers. This is on top of those that are already appointed. And yes, it's, as it's been flagged, the contrast on what's happened at the higher end of the pay scale for politicians and office holders, where another wage increase is going to take place. And let me be clear, Sinn Féin have already waived that wage increase, as we have the wage increases over the last number of years.
Okay. So as has the Taoiseach and ministers.
Well, I understand that they've waived their ministerial part. I'm not sure if they've waived their TD's part, but the issue is, and we produce legislation on this here, TDs and senators and ministers should not be getting wage increases at this point in time. Indeed, I believe that the wage of a TD is already too high, and we should legislate to actually bring it down. That's my view. But particularly in the middle of a pandemic, the idea that you waive it, you still benefit from this. By the way, in terms of pension entitlements,
we've
and
a government
so on.
Statement on this today, and it says TD salaries are set independently, free from political influence, and are linked to public sector pay. And that's important because this is going to happen for the entire public sector. It'll come at a cost of €264 million a year. So are you opposed to that happening in its totality, or is it just for this sector?
No, I believe that politicians and being elected to office is a huge privilege. It's a huge honour. And I think that we have to set an example. At the end of the day, the Oireachtas is the body which decides on many issues that cause financial hardship to people and indeed provide support to people. And at this point in time, or indeed at any point in time, I don't think that the TDs should be paid at this amount. Like the amount of wage increases that we've got in the last number of years is huge, Claire. I think the last time that I gifted back my salary, I do it every year as my colleagues do, it was about 8,400. I believe next year that's probably going to rise to close to 10,000 because the full year effect of the wage increase would come in. Now, that's just the wage increases that have been received by TDs over the last 4 to 5 years, and it's absolutely staggering, and it's tone deaf deaf to what is happening in the community and wider society. So while ministers talk about that they're waiving their ministerial part, other TDs are still entitled to this, okay. And I think we shouldn't be.
We have another TD on the line now, Independent TD John Halligan in Waterford. John, what's your take on this?
Retired. I'm no longer Independent TD or minister, but I was a minister. Thanks for having me on the show. Well, first of all, can I say that regarding, do you want to talk about the ministerial advisors or the salary first?
Well, let's take the salary increase across the board, this increase which is coming in for TDs. What's your take?
Okay, well, I suppose it's easy for me to say now as a retired TD and minister that TDs shouldn't take it. But I always opposed increases to TD salaries over the last number of years. I think at this particular occasion, with the condition that the economy is in, where people are suffering job losses and the amount of money that will have to be placed into the Department of Social Protection over the last number of years to sustain people, I think it would be best if TDs and ministers didn't take an increase for the next number of years.
So it's not enough for you that the ministers and the Taoiseach have said that they're not going to take this. You think they should all do it? They should all say no?
I do on this occasion. But I also want to say that, and I'm saying this right across parties, and I know someone, and I'm not being condescending to Pearce, who is an exceptionally good TD and a hard worker, but TDs do, I believe they earn the money they get. They work 7 days a week. It can be a very short time. The lifespan can be short. You're dictated to not by your employer, is the people that vote for you, and you can be quite easily put out, as many TDs have been put out of their jobs. I think they do work hard, but I do think on this occasion, over the next couple of years, with what we're facing, the sustainability of our economy, having to rebuild our economy, which is essentially what we will have to do when this crisis is over, that it would be best, I think, for TDs and ministers not to take any increase over the next few years.
Okay, and Derek Mooney, former government advisor, do you agree with all of that, that the time is wrong?
Look, I think Piers made a point earlier saying it was tone-deaf announcing new advisors on the day that PUP payments and cut, etc. And I don't think anyone could disagree with that as a piece of political communication. It's not exactly world-beating. However, I think it's easy to turn around and say, well, look, we should cut TD's pay, we should cut senators' pay, we should do X, Y, and Z. The difficulty is when it comes out how you do that and how it's going to be achieved. Piers made the point that it's an honour and a privilege to become a TD, and that's certainly true. To be elected to your national parliament is a great honour. But it's also a role and a responsibility. It's also the great. It is also a piece of precarious employment, which is, in terms of TDs, it is a very, very precarious work. And many TDs are now just getting in to do one term and then finding themselves almost unemployable at the end of it. So there is an issue about that. Many years ago, we're going back to the kind of the great honour to be elected as a TD, back before the system was brought in, before the TD's pay was pegged to a grade in the civil service, TDs decided their own pay. At that point, TDs were doing second jobs. So at one stage, it all didn't meet till late in the afternoon because a lot of TDs were barristers and were working down in the courts. You also had a large number who were teachers, etc. So you created a role where basically being a TD became your second job, and we don't want to return to that situation. So while Pearce turns on and says, yeah, we can legislate for this, I think that's a very glib statement. I think it's far more complicated than that.
Yeah, can I put that point to Pearce already? I'll come back to you in a moment, Derek, but that does raise the prospect that, you know, if you keep cutting at this, that people might just look at it as another part of their employment and be less focused on the work of being a TD.
Look, I don't believe that at all, and I actually don't believe that across the party divide, that people would see this as a part-time job. Nobody's suggesting that this has been cut down to the bone. People recognise the role of a TD, and TDs, even if we had got no increases over the last 10 years, would still be a highly paid job. You know, it was 85,000 or so. We've now gone up to, what is it, 90-something, 95,000. It's crazy, the increase that happened. What should happen at a bare minimum is TDs who are already on over 90,000 euros should not be getting extra increase in pay. That's what should happen at a bare minimum. And look, there are people who still in Leinster House, in the previous Dáil and maybe in this Dáil, who still take that salary and still work down in the courts. So, you know, I don't believe that case is relevant. The question here, and really what's so sore for people, is that 156,000 people took a reduction in their salary. The government decided that. The announcement, or the cuts, took place this week at the the same time when this government refuses to actually legislate not to increase pay of TDs or indeed announces additional junior ministers. You know, when we already have a plethora of junior ministers in departments between Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan, there is 18 special advisors between them. And now to announce special advisors starting on a salary of €67,000 on the day that they've decided to cut payment for people who the Department of Social Protection have said that they only have a financial buffer of less than 2 weeks. The Financial of Social Protection said that these people are more likely to go into debt than anybody else. And we know now that the financial hardship that has been placed upon these former workers now means that there could be into mortgage distress.
I was just having a look at the situation in Northern Ireland, and two Sinn Féin special advisors, Dara O'Hagan and Stephen McGlade, they're amongst the highest paid special advisors on €85,000. That's the translation. It's around 78,000 sterling. They're among 14 special advisors in Northern Ireland. So what do you say to that? I mean, is there a hint of hypocrisy here?
Not at all. Sinn Féin are not saying that there should be no special advisors for government ministers. What we're saying is that with 50 special advisors, there is no need for another 10 special advisors to be announced. You talked about a full government in the north having 14 special advisors across all of the parties that are a part of the executive. There is 18 special advisors for the three the two former Taoiseach and Eamon Ryan. Indeed, Eamon Ryan has two chief of staffs and six special advisors himself. Now, you know, so there's no comparison in relation to what's happened in the Northern Executive.
Okay, I want to bring John Halligan back in here again.
Yeah, it's all about proportion.
Okay, all right. John Halligan, did you have a special advisor when you were a junior minister?
I did, and like looking at it from my perspective, and if you take it from my perspective, I was dealing with two departments. I was dealing with education and jobs and enterprise. For instance, in education, an example would be I was dealing with school transport, 117,000 children, 14,000 special needs children being moved across the country every day. I was dealing with apprenticeships, I was dealing with skills. And then I was in another department, which was jobs and enterprise. I was dealing with universities, innovation, research, European Space Agency. And you did need a special advisor because, remember, as well as doing the job as a junior minister, you're also trying to do your job in your constituency as a TD. And I had one special advisor, and he really worked. I had Michelle Clancy, first of all, who was excellent. She left and went to another job, and I had another chap, Anthony McFeely. And they worked exceptionally hard 7 days a week. And I don't think that, and again, I'm only speaking from my perspective, that I would have been able to do the job to the best of my ability without having an advisor. I think Pierce is right. You don't need five or six advisors. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that's coming from or why Eamon Ryan has five or six advisors, if that's the case. But I think every minister, every junior minister should have an advisor. I think if you want the job done right for your country, you're representing your country also right across Europe. I've been around the world. I've been to China, Russia, on skills education, and you needed an advisor. There's no way out of that, I think.
Yeah, and what do you say to that when it comes to the specifics, Piers, of junior ministers having an advisor? Are you saying that that's not necessary, or you have a problem with a ministry who has multiple advisors?
Well, first of all junior ministers don't get advisors, so that's clear. It has to be based on the portfolio and the complexity.
It's 10 out of the 17, isn't it?
Yeah, and the complexity of the portfolio. But the issue here arises, the Taoiseach has taken six special advisors. The Taoiseach has taken another six special advisors, Eamon Ryan another six. Like, now, ministers are only entitled to a maximum of two special advisors according to the law. But there is an exception there because these individuals are party leaders in their own right. They can have an unlimited number of special advisors. Look, it goes back to this, Claire. And listen, where we're at this point in time as a country, the government are imposing cuts on people's incomes. These people are going to fall into financial distress. And at the same week, on the same day that these cuts, they announce 10 special advisors for junior ministers. And it's just simply tone deaf. And the real call that I have, and the most focused thing that I'm focused on here, is what we need to do is we need to get the government to reverse the cuts that they made to the pandemic unemployment payment, to make sure that those 160,000 people are restored back to the level that they were, to continue them for a period of time, because this pandemic hasn't gone away, and we need to support those people who have lost their jobs, okay, some of them because of the restrictions that have been imposed by the government.
And you've made that point in fairness. Derek Mooney, can I just come back to you on multiple special advisors for individual ministers? Is that necessary?
In terms of the Taoiseach's department, because it takes a kind of a broad overview of government, that has always been four or five advisors in that department, plus government press secretary, etc. Whether the Taoiseach and the leader of the Green Party need six advisors, including, as the deputy had already pointed out, two chiefs of staff, etc., I think that's certainly a question worth asking. I wouldn't have thought so. But there is definitely a role for special advisors, and particularly with junior ministers, because in many cases, it isn't necessarily the complexity of the departments, as the Deputy Doherty said, but rather is the fact that they have the devolved responsibilities, that they're actually given specific responsibilities that come from the programme for government. And once there's a piece of the programme for government there, I think there is an argument for having, we call them special advisors, that formerly were known as kind of programme managers, the people there who are there to work with the minister to ensure that the programme for government is delivered on specific policy areas. Mm-hmm. And I think for as long as this is policy-driven, absolutely, it should be there. And I think junior ministers are entitled to have special advisors where they have a very specific responsibility.
It is a bitter pill, though, isn't it, Derek?
Of course, it's a piece of communications. It's not exactly a work of genius.
Because today, if you're in a situation today, for example, in Dublin, where you cannot go back to work because your sector is closed down because of a government policy related to public health advice, your pandemic unemployment payment has been cut, and you see this happening. It's just really hard to tell.
But the team that has worked most consistently, not just in Ireland but right across Europe, in how to cope with COVID, is how to get public buy-in to policies. We're all in this together. And it is very difficult for the government to say, we are all in this together. At a time it says, listen, well, we're in this, you're not. And I think that is a very, very dangerous message to be sending out. It's ill-informed and it's tone-deaf. And like Pierce makes the point regarding PUP payments. The points he's making today are points that I saw and watched Fianna Fáil TDs making over the weekend. So, I mean, that there is a general acceptance that this is an unfair thing to do to people at this particular time, especially when parts of the country are moving into a higher level of restrictions in terms of Dublin, particularly in stage three. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is a tone deafness about this. The argument that comes back from the Taoiseach and from the Department of Finance, I'm sure, and the Department of Public Expenditure is, look, this payment has lasted longer than we expected, but not only that, it has to go right into next year, and eventually a bill will have to be paid. That's the broad macro argument which ministers must look at. But TDs and ministers at the same time also look at, well, how does this affect individuals? How many people are going to put to the pin of the collar on this one? How many people who are already suffering in terms of the fear of catching COVID, who all have to deal with the mental stress and strain that this is bringing on top of this, and then to feel that their payments have been cut? And then it isn't as if these are exceptionally generous payments. I think the difficulty with PUP is we tend to look at it as a welfare payment, where this should be the first element of a basic income policy.
OK, we're going to leave it there. Derek Mooney, former government advisor under Fianna Fáil-led governments, and Pierce Doherty from Sinn Féin, and also John Halligan, former independent TD and also former Minister of State. We'll leave it there. More to come after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.